And I shared a bit today, and I'm just seem to be right in that same vein on the same thing, but God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. And then it says, according to the power that worketh within us. And those of you who was in the meeting this morning, I shared worketh, what worketh meant, and it was an English word, and it's why God went into the, touched, you know, the king who translated it into the English version, because of the capacity of that language to express what he wanted to say. The word worketh, it means that it worked. It means it works. It's working now. It worked. It's working now. And it will work. So he said, you can do exceeding abundant above all you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What worketh in us? What worketh in you? Amen. What's at work in you? Well, the Word is at work in you. Amen. If so be that you have been born of the Word, if you so have been born of the Spirit, the Word worketh in you, producing the fruit of God, the nature of God. The Word worketh in you to produce that. It's a seed of God, it says in 1 John. The seed of God is His Word. Amen. So that's working in you. That's what's producing fruit. Amen. There's also the element of His Spirit that has made the Word alive in you. And you have the seed in you, but it's not alive until it's breathed upon. But Jesus said this. He said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life. The words don't go in our head. They go into our heart. Amen. If a man believes in his heart unto righteousness, and with his mouth confessions made unto salvation. Now the exceedingly abundantly is coming from something within us. Wow.
That's right.
It's not coming like holding your hand out like this. There's something in us, according to the power worketh in us. There's something working in us to bring forth this exceedingly abundance. Well, what is it? What is it? It's what we say and what we think by the Spirit. It's what we say and what we think, and not just think, but imagine by the Spirit. What do you imagine? What's your imagination like? What kind of imagination do you have? Do you have, because he, you know, we see that, like I said today, we see that scripture in 2 Corinthians, and it talks about, you know, casting down imaginations. And so Christianity and the world of Christendom has taken that and said, oh no, the images and imaginations are bad. No, they're not bad. God gave you an imagination. What is that for? It's to be activated by faith, the Word of God, and have an imagery that you can release in the Spirit to cause something to begin to manifest. What do you imagine that God is doing in you? What do you imagine for when He speaks to you? What do you imagine about it? Do you imagine that you're not going to make the goal? Do you imagine that it's just going to go by you? Do you imagine that someone else is going to get to do it? Or do you imagine when He says, mighty man of valor, mighty man of valor, do you imagine yourself as a mighty man of valor? Do you take that image and begin to project it out by the Spirit and begin to walk it forth and see Him do exceedingly abundantly above all that you're asking or thinking? There's no limitations on God. There is no limitations on Him. See? I'm living proof. There's no limitations to what God can do with someone who is a throwaway, forgotten, dysfunctional family raised criminal aspect, low moral character. You can depend on me to one thing. I'll be drunk every week. You can depend on me for one thing. I'll spend all my money in liquor and partying and drugs. You can depend on that. I would be dependable on that. But to rely on me for anything else, well, he's drunk. He's messed up. He's in jail. He's wrecked his vehicle. He's gone, whatever. So when we say that God's limitless, it means that he can take someone like me or take someone like you or you or you or you or you whose statistics would say that you're going to end up messed up, dead, and, you know, OD'd or whatever. Statistics say that. But God, he goes on you, on you. And he breathes on you, and you become a living soul. What does that mean? He said, you've got all of a sudden, there's a life imparted to you that you never knew existed. Amen. And you're actually capable of fulfilling the dreams that he put in you. So the only images you need to cast down and cast down images that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that rises up against the knowledge of God has for you. Anything that rises up against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? God, the knowledge of God is that you're a son and a daughter of his, that you're victorious, you're champions, you're winners, you are precious, you are holy, you are righteous. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. You are. You're precious, you're holy, you're righteous. You're not damaged goods. You're not damaged goods. And anything that comes against that, that's the imagination you can't cast down. So I can use my imagination to imagine myself being what God said to be. And when I do, there's an exceedingly abundant thing that happens in me. All of a sudden, I begin my life and my atmosphere and my circumstance begin to change because I release faith. I release the anointing. I release the virtue of God, the goodness of God, and it begins to change things around me. And then I put my imagination to work. Oh, I said about Adam, you know, I've studied so much about when God created Adam in his image, and it's just really wild because he put him in the garden to tend it. The word tend does not mean to work it. The word tend means, have you ever heard tendencies? You know what a tendency is? It comes from the word intentions. Basically, he said, Adam, whatever you intend in this garden, do. That's what the word ten means. Don't mean it. He didn't start working until after the fall. And then he tried to produce by his hands what God gave him the power to speak into and cause it to grow. And it bore him thorns and thistles. But before that, he walked by a tree and said, peach. There it was. Apple. There it was. Pear. There it was. Oh, grass is a little too long today. Shorten. Shorten. Up, rise up. Wheat, come forth. Corn, come to me. Because every word that he spoke was like God's word. He was in God's image. And God's word creates. And God gave Adam that same creative ability. He said, subdue the earth. How did he says, go subdue it. What does subduing mean? What does it mean to subdue something? It means it's subservient and it's due. Its dues are paid to you. It's subservient and its dues get paid to you. The earth was for who? Adam. Adam wasn't for the earth, but the earth needed a purpose. And the purpose was to follow the subduing and the dominion of the man that was placed on it to tend it. That's why when you read in Romans that all creation groans. Remember? All creation groans. Why? Why does it groan? It needs somebody to tell it what to do. It's in chaos. There was no chaos before the garden, before sin entered the garden, y'all. There was no hurricanes. There was no storms. There was no earthquakes. There was no volcanoes. There was no snowstorms. No tornadoes. None of that happened. Why? Because it was not in chaos. It was subdued. And it was under the dominion of somebody. And it did what it was told. Wow. That Grant, he's coming up with some crazy stuff. How did that guy know all that stuff? Where did that guy come up with that? He's just a crazy cowboy, Indian, Mexican, whatever. Who did come up with it? He came up with it out of the Bible. Amen. And so when we want to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, that's like that we begin to have a vision for something, and we begin to say it, we begin to imagine it, we begin to feel it, and we begin to will it. We begin to will it. Have you ever seen anyone stay alive by sheer will? Like an old grandma or grandpa or somebody, they'll stay alive till that last child comes to see them and then they leave. That's some strong will, isn't it? That you can will to live. I thought that we didn't have the power of death. But you can will. Your will is the strongest thing you have. You exercise it. Your will is strong. Your will, when you put your will to what God's will is, then there's no limitations. Because he created you with a will. Jesus willed to do things. When the leper came to him, if thou canst, Jesus said, what would you have me? He says, if you can, cleanse me. He didn't say I can. I will. Why would he will? Because that's God's will. He said, whatever I see the Father do, I do. Amen? So we don't have to wonder if we pray for someone who needs healing. I will. Did I ever tell you guys about the man that we raised from the dead years ago? In about, I think it was like 99 or 2000. And I was doing some part-time work for a guy. And I've been preaching it in our ministry in Florida, our revival center. And we've been talking about the gospel. And that one of the messages in the gospel says, go raise the dead. And so we just believing for raised dead. We'd already seen cancers healed, already seen blind people healed, already seen deaf people healed, already seen limbs grow and different things and eyes get healed and all kinds of stuff. Cancers be ridden out of bodies, emptied wheelchairs. We had wheelchairs hanging in the church, in the building that we had, and we had crutches and all that stuff. But I said, you know, I've never yet to see the dead raised, and I believe that's God's will for us, is to see the dead raised. So I was working down in the Everglades, and I was running a machine for a guy, a track hoe, and I was cleaning ditches out and doing stuff. And about a mile or so down the farm road, there was a dragline machine he was working, and this guy was down there working, and I noticed that the machine was not moving, and I don't know, it had been a while that it hadn't moved, and then some farmer boys come up there and said, hey, our dragline operator, our crane operator, he's dead. Wonder if you guys have a phone we need to call and see if we can get, you know. We tried to revive him. We've been trying for 30 to 40 minutes trying to revive him. And he's already, you know, it's cold and purple and everything. And so, you know, when he said, then they were saying it to me, I'm sitting there And God said to me, just as clear as you're hearing me, he said, I will if you will. I will if you will. But see, I was thinking, hey, man, it's going to be like this perfect time when I've just come out of a great revival and I've got this season of glory on me and this fresh anointing and, you know, just my faith is so, I could just do anything and I'm ready and it's set up for me and I just go in there. People's been interceding and believing and fasting and praying for it. And then all I do is just jump in there and rise in Jesus' name and it happens. That's what my image of it was. But God's image of it was, I will if you will. And this was not one of my better spiritual days. This was not a day that I was appreciating. This was not a day that I was having a good day. And I did not feel spiritual one bit. And I didn't feel like this was the time to be spiritual. In fact, I felt as far away from the Spirit as I could in that moment. But God said, I will if you will. So the first thing I did, got on my cell phone and I called my dear wife. Because I know my wife and my daughters are at home. And I'll get someone to agree with me. And I called her up and I was thinking that she was probably going to say, Grant, that's not the Lord. You shouldn't do that. You're going to, you know, make a fool of yourself. Or, you know, those people are going to get mad at you or something. You need to just, I'm thinking she's going to tell me that. And then I'm going to agree with her. I'm going to say, forget it. I'm not doing it. I called her up and I said, hey, this guy, he's down there, he just died, and I'm going to go down there. I feel like God's telling me to go down there and pray for him and raise him from the dead. And she says, okay, well, we'll gather and start praying right now, honey. Go ahead. That's good. Praise the Lord. But she'd already been around me. She knows me. She's my wife. And we already got the church started, you know, going. And so we've been preaching on that. So she's thinking, who better to do it? He's telling the people, you do it. You're telling the people, go out and raise the dead. Grant, you go raise the dead first to tell them that it can be done. Yeah. Amen, Pastor. Hey, Pastor. So I said, okay, I'm going to go. And I went down there, and the guy was, it was across this ditch. And they had these ditches that were deep and had roads mounded up, shell roads. It was in the middle of cane fields out there where they grow sugar cane. Anyway, them guys are there, and the guy said, man, we tried everything. We can't get him. I said, well, I'm going to pray for him if y'all don't mind. And they said, he's dead. I said, yeah, I know he's dead. I said, I know. I just come to pray for the guy. And they said, you don't understand. We've been trying to revive him. I said, I'm not going to try to revive him. I said, I'm going to pray for him. He's going to live. They said, you're crazy, man. I said, I just want to, man. Let me do it, okay? They said, go ahead, but don't be like picking him up and rolling him around, stuff like that. We love him, man. He's a good old guy. I said, I'm not going to disturb him, you know. So I went over to him, jumped across, got across the ditch. And he's lying there, and the first thing, you know, I'm going to check him out. Like, maybe there's some life on him. I can hit him, and he'll come too. Won't have to do it. He's not got no life. That dude is so dead. Tag on the toe dead. That's what Rick called me last year. Tag on the toe dead when I was in a coma. But anyway, that guy was in there. He weren't nothing. He was, his color's gone. He's pallid looking. He's pale. He's pasty. He's even starting to stiffen up a little. It's hard to move his arm. And so I said, okay. So then I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to pray. And I told the guys, I'm going to pray now. Well, I couldn't come up with a prayer. There was no prayer. I'm like, I read all of Smith Wigglesworth's books. I've been to all the camp meetings. I've done all this stuff. I've read all these miracle books and these things. And I said, I can't think of a prayer to pray. I don't know what Lester Summerall would have said. I mean, I'm just trying to think of something to say. I couldn't even think of no healing scriptures. Oh, man. Amen. So all I did, I just leaned down on him, you know. I just got down. He's down there. And I just put him on my knees like this. And his head's right here. And I just said, I just started praying in tongues. I just put one hand here on his head and I put the other one on his chest like that. And I just shukala usta na prakipoda tekemo utri. And so I could sort of feel that I'm starting to get in there, you know. And all of a sudden, like from behind my neck and down my arm come this, it was like, you take a, like a, those hair dryer, those light, you know, those hair dryers that I use too sometimes. But, them hair dryer, like a, this hot wind goes down my arm and hits that guy. It comes out of my hand, hits that guy. And all of a sudden, I hear him go like this. And he's pushing, his head's pushing my hand up. You know. And so I just like flip out. Then I really go, and I was scared. It scared me. The guys that was there, the two farm boys, one of them just fell to his knees and started screaming and crying. The other one took off running down the road. He just ran, freaking out. Just crazy. And so I was just like, they weren't even helping us, trying to get the guy. He's over there worshiping. Oh, God, Jesus. And I said, man, help me. I'm trying to get him up. I want to get him to lean up and sit up. And then I was going to turn him around so he could lean up against the track of the machine. And I was going to get him some water. But he still had the water cup in his finger. His finger was rigor mortis like. And the cup was in his finger. I'm trying to get the cup out of his finger. And his hands were still stiff, like with rigor. And I'm trying to bend him and get him up. He was stiff as a board, that guy. And he's looking at me. He's looking at me, and he cough a little bit, and he like that going on, you know. And I'm like, glory to God. Let me get you some water. And so I finally pulled the cup out of his hand, got him some water, and he's, I had to pull his mouth open to drink it. He couldn't even hardly open his mouth. So he drank a little water and he sat there. Well, I'm watching him, and the dude starts getting like this color in him. What was weird though, and I talked to a nurse later, and you know, when you get color back, the last thing that comes to color is your extremities. So like your head, the blood's got to pump up out of your heart to your head to where you get the extremities, and then the color comes back in you. This dude is starting to get color from the top of his head down like this. And it was going out his arms. It's going down his chest. It's going through him like this. And all of a sudden he's starting to get color, and I could feel warmth on him. He's starting to get warmer. And so he said, water. He said, water. And evidently what had happened was the man had a severe heart condition, and he was not expected at any time to have a heart attack. He was basically working and said he just needed to get a drink of water, and he went to step off the machine, walk over to the water cooler on the side of his machine, and then heart attack hit him, boom, down he went. He was deader than a doornail when he hit the ground. So in about, I don't know, maybe probably 45 more minutes, the paramedics got there. They weren't in a hurry because they had already called him, told him the man was dead. So it's a long ways from Fort Lauderdale where they come from, in the middle of the Everglades. So they get there, and there he's sitting on the tailgate of the truck. And both the other farmer, he came back. He finally came back. He just kept standing back from me. He was like, I'd walk around. He'd just go away from me, and he wouldn't go near the other guy. It's like this, you know. And so what happened was they checked the guy out, and they said, who did resuscitation? Well, they both turned to me, and they said, this guy, he prayed for him. He prayed for that guy. And they said, so you know CPR? And I said, no. I said, I just know Shikila Brostam Brendebesta. That's all I knew. I said, here he is. And I said, I didn't hit him. I didn't pump him. I didn't give him no mouth to mouth or nothing. And I said, here he is. And so they took the report and away they went. took him in the ambulance. Away they went. I got called and got in touch with the hospital over there and everything. They checked him out and sent him home. I found out later who he was from the other guys and contacted and follow up. So one of his family members talked and said that he had a bad heart condition and all that, and said he's went back and he's checked out and his heart is like a 20-year-old. They just couldn't believe it. The other thing is he had two children a daughter that was not saved and she was on drugs really bad, and a son that had run away from the call of God on his life. Amen. And they both turned to Jesus. Amen. They both turned to Jesus. So his family restored. And as far as I know, to this day, the man's still alive and well. As far as I know. And so he's only in his 50s, that guy. Amen. So, but the thing is, I'm telling you all this, because if you will, he will. If you will, he will. Will you? Will you? Because he will. He will. He doesn't have a problem. Amen. That's his deal. That's his area. Miracles is his area. Amen. I mean, that's his thing. He's the supernatural. Amen. And so if you imagine it, if you can imagine it, can you imagine it? Imagine it. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine being healed? Can you imagine being restored? Can you imagine being delivered? Can you imagine being free? Can you imagine being happy? Can you imagine not being depressed? Can you imagine it? Amen. And see something exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. Now I'm alive. You know, you feel me? Am I alive, brother? Amen. I'm alive. I was dead. 18, 20 months ago, I was dead. You feel me? I'm not an image, brother. I'm here. I'm really here. I'm in the flesh. That's right. But the doctors had quit and gave up and said he has zero chance of surviving. And I was in a coma for 2.5 weeks. Total respiratory failure. My body had turned septic. Every organ had turned septic. My heart was messed up. My lungs were collapsed. My kidneys shut down. My bladder would not work. Nothing would work. My blood was not flowing. And I was dead. But God said, I will. If you will. Somebody said, I will. Somebody said, I will, because I had prayers given for me. Y'all remember? So some of you said, I will. But you know what you said, I will to? You said, I will that Grant will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That Grant would be declaring the works of the Lord. That's why I'm alive, is because someone willed to say, he will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. My wife said to the doctor, when she said, call the family, he's not going to make it. You need to get him here. The only thing that's going to save him was a miracle. Maybe y'all can pray. Can you pray? And Frieda said, we're just going to pray, not just pray, but he's not going to die. That's what she said. That's what my daughter said. That's what everyone who came said. He's not going to die. And when I saw him, he wouldn't let me come into heaven. When I saw Jesus, when I came to the entry and the entrance of the gate, when I come into the entrance of the doorway to go into heaven, I left my body coming forth. And Jesus said, no, Grant. No. And I begged him, let me come, let me come, let me come. He said, no, Grant, listen. And what did I hear? in one accord, in unity, the prayers of people across the United States, my family, my friends, pastors, ministries, people praying, and this was what they prayed. He shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And Jesus was standing there at the doorway, and the prayers were entering into him. And I understood that all things go through the Son to get to the Father. And by the Spirit, we're praying. The Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. And so the will of God was happening. And Jesus turned to me and he says, I'm not going to deny them. And here I am, 51 days in the hospital, 800 and how much, Rita? Eight, she told it today, $800,000 doctor bill, hospital bill. You know how much we paid? That was exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think too. We never even thought about that. You know how it got paid? Neither do I. They only charged us $26. We still don't know how it got paid. Huh? We don't know how it got paid. Amen. Exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, he paid the bill. He brought me back to life. Because he answered the prayers of those that will. Because he willed, and they willed, and I am here. Because somebody willed to do it. Whew. So you see what it means to have dominion. To be who God created you to be and take dominion against the things in this earth that are against you. Because you're a supernatural being. The supernatural lives in you. It's called the Supernatural Life Tour. We're on the Supernatural Life Tour. Amen? This is what it is, this tour we're on. Amen? This is the last leg of it in which we pick it up in March and go some more. But this is Supernatural Life Tour, and our camp meeting is going to be the Supernatural Life Camp Meeting this year. And I just finished the book that tells the whole story of me and what happened to me and all the testimonies, the doctor's report, and all of different. Rick gave a testimony in it. My wife testified. My children testified. I had pastor testify. Different people that testified of things when they were interceding and praying that happened. And then at the end of it is a teaching about the nature of the supernatural life and being a son of God and a child of the King. And I'm royalty. I'm with him in royalty. I'm part of his family. And he gave me revelation of that and revelation of his love. See? So this is about the supernatural life. This is why I'm going with these things. It's a supernatural life. Amen. We have to live in the here and now, but we can make it supernatural. Amen. And so that's what I came to tell y'all. Hallelujah. There's so much more that's available for us if we will. If we will. Because he's not limited. We got it to give it. Amen. We give it away. When you give it away, when you give the anointing away, we give the power of God away, we give the word of God away, we give the love of God away, we give the touch of God away, we give the encouragement of God away, we give the strength of God away, we give the wisdom of God away, we give it away, 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 release it, give it away, give it away, give it away. It's not ours to hoard, but it's ours to release, it's ours to give, it's ours to pour out. Jesus, Brother Ronnie, Shando Karabistan Grande, hallelujah.